The Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says it's made investments in all 50 states into research that combat antibiotic resistance. That investment in Arizona is more than $1 million for work in areas including food safety and tracking. Joining me to talk about this is Dr. Bettina Fries, Infectious Disease Division Chief at Stony Brook University Hospital in New York. And Dr. Fries, on the list of things that people who work in this field are concerned about, where does antibiotic resistance fall?
It's a huge concern. It's the new changing field in infectious disease. It's the new threat that's coming up the road.
What has been changing about it?
Well, we've over the last decade seen emerging multi-drug resistant pathogens. First, we saw them only in hospital-associated infections, and now we see them even in the community. And so we're faced with treating bacteria that are resistant to most commercially available antibiotics. And so we have a very limited choice of antibiotics that we can use.
How much of that, if not all of it, is related to overuse of antibiotics themselves?
Probably most of it, although I have to tell you that some antibiotic resistance has probably also naturally occurs, and there are reports of antibiotic-resistant genes from pathogens isolated from times before we even had antibiotics. So some of antibiotic resistance is, in the sense, naturally occurring, but the majority of the emerging antibiotic resistance that we see now is clearly related to overusage of antibiotics, both in the medical field as well as in the food industry and in the agricultural industry.
So as you say, a majority of the resistance that we're seeing is because of overuse of antibiotics. In terms of the actual medication, let's leave the agriculture out of it for the moment. In terms of the medication, is this just a matter of us not taking as many antibiotics? And if so, are there other medications to treat the things that antibiotics are currently treating?
Well, the first question when you treat an infection is always, do you need to treat it with antibiotics or can the host deal with it themselves? Is it really an infection or is it just a colonization? Because in many cases, for instance, in we very commonly overtreat urinary tract infections. Many urinary tract infections are just asymptomatic colonizations. That means somebody sent a urine culture, they identified bacteria in the urine culture, they wrongly draw the conclusion that this is actually an infection. But what it really is a colonization, and this patient does not benefit from antibiotic therapy. This patient can just not be treated and will be fine. And there are other examples where, you know, patients have viral infections and they're treated for bacterial pneumonias by physicians where the infection didn't require any antibiotics.
So is this just a matter, do you think, of doctors being a little maybe more thoughtful in terms of looking at an individual patient and trying to determine whether what they're presenting with is something that really needs antibiotics or maybe can be left to work itself out or maybe needs some other course of treatment other than antibiotics?
Yes. So one is re-educating physicians to re-evaluating the approach to the patient and whether antibiotics are actually needed. The other one is getting better at deciding how long we really have to treat. And the third one is that you should treat as specific as possible and only as broad as necessary.
The CDC is working on trying to deal with this issue. They're sending money to labs across the country to work on this. What kinds of things can researchers like yourself and others do to try to minimize the potential impact or maybe fight back against this, what sounds like kind of a growing threat?
Well, the CDC has basically ramped up tremendously its approach and its surveillance of multi-drug resistance. They have this National Healthcare Safety Network. That's a big database. And these data have allowed us to actually really define whether certain multi-drug resistance bacteria are emerging, are we getting control over them, where are they coming from, and where do they appear first in patients. And this will allow us to become much more aggressive about preventing infections.
Well, it sounds like part of the plan then is to not have to worry about using antibiotics in the first place by stopping people from getting infections, which might require
right.
the use of antibiotics.
Yeah. Yeah, like discontinuing catheters, for instance, urinary catheters, they can be a source of an infection. They can contribute to higher infection rates. So hospitals are encouraged to decrease the number of catheters used and the number of days where these catheters are used. Same with intravenous lines, you know. And all of these guidelines, they are very clearly spelled out now, and there's a system in place to track the outcome. And there is also an incentive structure or a penalizing structure in place to actually really come down on hospitals who don't comply with regulation.
Dr. Bettina Fries is the Infectious Disease Division Chief at Stony Brook University Hospital in New York.